In this episode, I set out to discuss dividends, and I did that very thing with a Peter Greshens, and I had fun doing it, and I hope you enjoy listening. Thank you. Welcome to the Bank with Life podcast. I'm your host, James Nethery, and today I'm going to talk about dividends. I know I've talked about dividends in the past, and with this, I hope it becomes, you know, maybe part of a series, part of a larger work, but most of all, I hope you find that some value in what I share with you today. And let me say, though, I have mentioned dividends 351 times in the first 50 episodes of our Q&A that's freely available in the big wide world. So there's actually 52 episodes, but I've mentioned dividends 351 times in the first 50 Q&As. That does not include all of the other videos, you know, 702 videos, and there's only about 250 of those, which are shorts. So we made an effort to make available educational, thought-provoking material for anyone to discover and then consider becoming their own banker. So I'm likely going to be somewhat repetitive here, but there's also going to be there will be some new things that I haven't discussed in previous videos, as many as there are. Okay, and so dividends. You know, so talk about dividends. Okay, what is a dividend? You know, the dividend in stock companies, the dividend in life. So we're specifically talking about the dividends of a life insurance policy. A dividend is paid to the owners of the life insurance company, and it is part of the owner's experience, their share in the financial experience of a life insurance company. So we got to talk about life insurance companies, right? And I know that you know there are two basic types of life insurance companies in the big wide world. There are stock companies, and then there are mutual companies. So to get to the dividend, here's the background that you've got to kind of wade through, right? A stock company is owned by shareholders. And like, you can go on to the NASDAQ with any publicly traded company. If you want to be a part owner in that company, you have to buy shares of stock, right? In the publicly traded company. Okay, well, life insurance companies are stock companies owned by shareholders, whether they're publicly traded or not. Some are publicly traded and some are not publicly traded. And then there is a mutual structure within the life insurance industry. And the mutual companies are owned by the policyholders, okay? And I've talked about, I've just talked a lot about, you know, company structure in the past, and I'm just recapping it to lay a foundation for dividends. So if I go to the stock market and I buy shares of a life insurance company that's publicly traded, I buy the share, and I'm going to enjoy either an appreciation of the stock value and or a dividend. A company may or may not pay dividends, right? So that's a dividend based on a share ownership of a stock company. So a stock company can either pay dividends or not. They're paying the dividends based on the share, right? Because you're the owner. So if they declare a dividend, dividends are paid to the owners, which are the shareholders of that company. Is it clear? Okay. And that can exist in the big wide world, publicly traded companies, and it can exist in the life insurance industry, whether the company is publicly traded or not. The ownership is through shares of ownership, right? If I'm an owner in that company, it's because I have ownership of shares of ownership in that company. I own the shares of that company, some or what have you. In the mutual life insurance world, the mutual life insurance company, they're owned by the policyholders, so their dividends are paid to the owners, to the policyholders. There are no shareholders. They're paid to the policy owners, okay? And then what you do with that or What you don't do with that is your business. You have options that we're going to get into. We're going to get into that. So a mutual company that pays dividends is also called a participating company. Just means that the policy owners, participate in the financial experience of the mutual life insurance company. Okay. And there's a couple of things I want to say about that, right? So if I'm just an investor and I'm in buying stocks in hopes that the value of the stock goes up, and maybe or maybe not I'll receive a dividend. So there's both appreciation of a share and dividends paid, you know, based on shares. I could go and buy a portfolio of dividend paying. You know, you've heard about dividend portfolios. Dividends are up or down or what have you. So you can invest in the stock market, and the sole purpose is, or a primary purpose could be, buying companies that have a history of paying high dividend rates, right? So I could invest in a company that has a history of paying high dividends, okay? I receive the dividend. I can receive the dividend in cash. That's the way they're paid most of the time. But I also have the option as an investor, oftentimes through I can reinvest the dividend in the company through a DRIP, a direct reinvestment program, all right? And I've talked about this before, I believe. I think I used Home Depot. I'll use a company XYZ. If I buy a share of company XYZ and its share price is $100, right? I buy the share. That's my fractional one share. That's my fractional ownership in that company because I have one share. It costs me $100. That share price might go up or down, of course, right? Now let's say they pay a dividend. Let's say they pay a dollar for every share. This is hypothetical, my example. I can receive the dollar. You can pay me, or I can say and get involved with their direct reinvestment program, which most of them have, and say, well, I don't want the dollar paid to me in cash. I want to buy another fractional share. All right. So I want to buy, you know, 1/100th of a share. I get paid a dollar in a dividend. The shares are $100, and I have the dollar directly reinvested automatically. And so now I own 1/100th of a share of that company. Okay, easy? Easy. It really is. I'm probably complicating it. Okay, now the share value, the price of the share is not guaranteed. That share could go from 100 to 200, 100%, right, return. Or it can go to 50, right? Lose 50%. So that dividend, if I took the dividend, had it directly reinvested, I have 1/100th. I still own 1/100th, but the share, the value of the share could go up or down, right? So the value of the dividend is directly tied and related to the value of the stock price, right? So there's no guarantees whether the company pays a dividend. They may have a history of paying dividends, but there's no guarantee of the future value of that dividend is my point here. Okay. But you can do that and people do that. And, you know, it can work fabulously for some people. That's not how a dividend received or paid by a life insurance company to the owners. I receive it as the owner. That dividend's not guaranteed either. Yep, no question. But then I have choices of what can I do with it. Send me the dividend in cash. Why? Because I'm an owner of the company. The company was profitable. Their financial experience, it's got to be a plus or they're not going to declare a dividend. Right? So the dividend from a life insurance company paid to the owner of the policy, that represents my experience, my share of their financial experience in a given year. Okay. And then I can, like I said earlier, I can take the dividend in cash. There are dividend elections or dividend options. I don't want to get into that yet. So I got a little outline to keep me from wandering off the reservation and chasing rabbits and digressions. Okay. So I'm the owner. I get paid the dividend. What does that represent? It represents my share of the financial experience of the life insurance company. It's paid from their general revenue fund, right? So like net, all of their income, net, all their expenses, net. And then there's a net profit, right? Hopefully it's profit. But that bottom line, I get to share in that bottom line, the financial experience of the company. And so how do they calculate dividends? You know, and I have a lot of comments about the life insurance industry, life insurance, quote unquote, pseudo professionals and gurus, and then life insurance agents. It's not all bad. I have a special place in my heart for life insurance agents, but I do personally expect them to be held to a higher standard because they're putting themselves out as, you know, in the life insurance business, and they're supposed to know and understand the life insurance business and do the right thing for the client, which I'm sure most of them do, but you always have the villains and the gangsters out there. So I have no love lost for them. Okay, I digress. So how's a dividend calculated? And I don't know if I have a graphic for this, but there will be a graphic elsewhere, at least in a larger work, maybe here, maybe not. There's the interest, and all of this is publicized by every mutual life insurance company. Their formulary, general formulary, to determine or calculate a dividend, right? They have their general formulary, and it goes as such. Interest, the mortality, interest income, interest expense, mortality expense. You know, we're in the life insurance business. People die. People graduate every day. Okay. Plus expense. So interest plus mortality factors plus plus expense equals the amount that's available to pay a dividend. So the life insurance company, they have an interest. They earn some interest, right? They've got to put the capital to work. We've talked about that. That's income to the life insurance company, right? As well as premium. That's also income to the life insurance company. Then you have the mortality factor. That's an expense. That's an outgo. There's an outflow to the life insurance company. You're paying a premium because you're going to graduate in the future. That's a guaranteed obligation to the life insurance company. If you've paid your premiums, the policy's in force. I mean, there's no question that's a guaranteed event, right? So it's an obligation to the life insurance company plus other expenses. They cost them money to put new business on the books and all of the expenses that they have, everybody in the home office, all of their distribution systems, whether they're independent agents, independent marketing organizations, through banks, through financial institutions, all of that, all of those entities are just the distribution system to a life insurance company, and none of them work for free, okay? Just like you. So and that's not the only cost, what they earn, but I'm just saying the distribution is a cost to the life insurance company, among all the other expenses. And net of all that is the amount that is available for dividend. And I want to reference Nelson Nash, Becoming Your Own Banker, 5th edition, right? And I know if you're going to practice the infinite banking concept, you'd want to be aware of this book. And if you're an agent, you surely would want to be aware of it. And if you're an agent, I'm sure you can read. So should make an effort and take the time to read it. And, you know, this book was published in 2000. The 5th edition was printed in 2008. So we're not talking about something ancient or in the Dead Sea Scrolls, you know, history. No. This is very, very relevant today. And it's extremely relevant, his work, Nelson's work, if you're going to practice the infinite banking concept. And if you don't have time to read or you know, learn to whatever extent you wish to, you know, God bless you. Okay. Page 23, Becoming Your Own Banker. Nelson speaks about dividends, right? And he says, quote unquote, "There are variations in interest earnings, death claims, and expenses of operation. And these factors affect the dividend scale declared for the coming year. You can safely say that real results will never exactly match the illustration provided at the beginning of the life policy." at the beginning of the life of the policy. But once a dividend is declared, its value is guaranteed from that point on. It can never lose value in the future, as can the value of securities, which is kind of what I spoke to earlier, right? If I take the dividend from an equities, you know, position and I buy fractional shares of the equity, there's no guarantee of the future value of that equity. Nelson addresses this simply, layman's terms, very clear. He almost quotes the general formula that I just gave that came from the life insurance industry. You go to every mutual life insurance company on the planet in North America, okay? And they will share with you, it's public information, the general formula of a dividend. Nelson quotes it right here, right? And then talks about, yep, the dividend's not guaranteed, but once it's declared and paid, it's done. Even when it's declared, it's guaranteed. Right. The only, if they declare a dividend and you don't receive the dividend, it's because your policy was not enforced at the end of the year when dividends are actually paid. All right. So he's exactly right. And that's exactly when the dividend is paid, is at the end of the policy year. Dividend rates are declared by the insurance companies that disclose, that publish their dividend rates, generally at the beginning of a calendar year or at the end of the preceding year. You know, they get into the fourth quarter of a year, calendar year, and the companies start declaring rates, and then other companies are going to wait to declare their rates based on what the other companies declare. I mean, there's a lot of games in the life insurance business. I'm sure you didn't expect any of that, right? Never a game in the life insurance business. Okay, but that is what it is. Excuse me. So they declare the dividend. There, it's guaranteed that dividend rate, whatever was declared, is going to be paid, but it's going to be paid at the end of the policy value or at the end of the policy year. So if your anniversary is in February, they declared a rate in January, you get that declared rate in February on your anniversary and so on. Okay. So how, pray tell, do you receive a dividend? We know where it comes from. The life insurance company pays it, and it's based on their formulary, and it's the policyholder's share of the financial experience of the life insurance company. And I have choices. The policyholder has choices of what to do with that dividend, right? And there's basically four that all the life insurance companies have. Some have five and some have six. This is general. The most common is I can have the dividend paid into the paid up additions rider. Pay the dividend, don't pay me, pay it right into the paid up additions rider. I can say, nope, I want it paid in cash. So at the end of the year, when you pay the dividend, just send me that dividend in the form of a check, right? And then I could say, well, I don't want the dividend in cash. I don't want it paid to the PUA, but I'm tired of paying these great big old life insurance premiums. So can you just apply the dividend to reduce the premium? Nelson did that 15 years, the first 15 years of his 1959 State Farm policy. I know that seems like a long time ago. You know, that was before most of you listening were born, and I get it. Okay, well, the truth is eternal. And I'm just making that comment because I'm talking about a 1959 policy. He talks about his 1959 State Farm policy. He talks about it in more in depth in his second book, Building Your Warehouse of Wealth. Nothing's changed. Not much has changed. The mechanics of a life insurance policy hasn't changed. You know, tax code has changed. You know, there have been lots of changes, but those changes, none of those changes in the financial world negatively affect or diminish the truth of Nelson's work, becoming your own banker and actually controlling the banking function in your life, because that's exactly what the infinite banking concept does. It allows you to control the banking function as it relates to you and your family and your business. And I get it, a bunch of people say, well, I don't get off into the weeds talking about dividends. I don't get off in the weeds talking about these things or those things. I don't care where they go and where they get off, whether it's in the weeds or the water. If you're going to put money, if you are going to pay premium to a life insurance company to own a policy and to enjoy all the benefits of a life insurance policy, and then actually apply the principles and the concepts that Nelson taught it would behoove you to at least understand, at a bare minimum, the basic mechanics of a life insurance policy. Okay. Does that mean you have to be an expert in the life insurance business? No, it doesn't. But by golly, the industry could use a few experts, because there's a lot of people running around who say they're experts, act like they're experts, but they're not. I digress again. Thank goodness I have a path to run on. Okay. So I could say, no, I don't want the dividend. I don't want to pay to the PUA. I don't want it to reduce premium. I want it to remain at interest. So that's an election, right? That's an option. That's a dividend election that an owner has. So, no, you keep the dividend and let it earn interest. It's an option that's there. It's a dividend election to remain at interest, paid to an interest-bearing account at the life insurance company. Some of them, it's mentioned here or there, talking about the fifth option or whatever, but some companies allow you to have the dividend to reduce a loan balance if you have a loan balance. Some do not. If they do not, then you just, there's other things that you can do to reduce the loan with that dividend, okay? And that's not here. That'll be in a deeper work or elsewhere. And then a relatively new option is not really a dividend election. It's a dividend option. You can have, you can choose to have the dividend indexed, right? So the company's going to declare dividend or not declare. Not every company declares and publishes their dividend, right? But they take the dividend they paid, and it gives you, the policy owner, the ability to elect to have your dividend allocated to an index, right? So for hypothetical purposes, illustrative example, you know, let's say they pay a 5% dividend. They'll pay you a minimum of 3 or 3.5, worst case scenario, or maybe 0, but we'll index it to an outside index or several indices. Let's say the S&P 500. We can apply your dividend to the index, and maybe the index goes up and you receive a higher than 5 that was declared. So you have, the owner has the ability with some companies to choose to have their dividend indexed, right? Which I've talked about that briefly previously. And, you know, in my humble opinion, that's a life insurance company trying to be all things to all people. They really want to be an investment company, but they're not. And they halfway forgotten their heritage. And so here, we'll be like everybody else, and you can get a greater rate of return maybe through an index. It's like, please. So I don't really think much about them. I don't use them. You do whatever you want to do. I'm not telling you to do or not to do anything, okay? My opinion is the life insurance company, like another little flashy thing that, you know, you might earn a higher rate than the declared dividend rate. And my direct comment to the life insurance companies, it's like, how about you just be a well-run mutual company, right? How about you make the proper investments? How about you do the proper underwriting? How about you manage your expenses like everybody else in America has to do? How about you do the right thing, which includes all of that? If you do, you're going to be profitable. And then me as a policy owner, perfect. That's what I want, is my share in your financial experience of the year. Okay. I digress a little. Okay. And then the dividend elections can be changed only on the anniversary day. So if I'm in the middle of the year, you know, and I want the dividend to be paid to cash, you know, I have to do that on the anniversary, right? I do all the paperwork, whatever the necessary requirement is. Then they'll send me a check, and I can make that permanent. You know, just send me a check. I'm going to change the dividend election to receive the dividend in cash, and I'll receive that dividend every year in cash until I change that election again. I might change my mind 2 years from now on the anniversary and tell the company, don't send me the dividend, have it paid to the PUA. Or reduce the premium or whatever. So dividend elections are changed on the policy anniversary. Okay.
Thank you for joining us on the Banking with Life podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe and click on that little notification bell. Otherwise, join us on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher for weekly content.